at 11 and ended up by 1. Praise the Lord. So that's my goal, and so that by the time we come to 1 o'clock, I know there are people who have commitments and they have to go, and we have to really redeem the time, and so that we can be accountable to the Lord in what He has done. Now, last week for some of you, we had a busy Sunday, and today we're also going to have a busy Sunday. So I'm going to make it really quick, and I'm going to ensure that you're blessed of the Lord. So I want you to give me just an attention. For a few minutes, so that we can share the word of the Lord. Amen. How many people are prepared to do that? Amen. Because we have some presentations, we have announcements to make, particularly for those who didn't make it for Sunday last week. We have something that we'll be announcing after the service. So last week we started on a subject. I felt in my heart the Lord imprawling into me, into my spirit, about the things that we need, that sometimes beset us, little foxes that really beset us and impede us from pursuing the glory of the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it is, by the way, before I preach, I just feel good to see Ben. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord has healed him. Amen. Praise the Lord. And thank you so much for that text. You know, I know what, you know, something, you know. Anyway, there are few things that we have, you know, it's not major, it's not really humongous things that normally beset us from reaching our goals. And every single one of us has a destiny. He has a purpose. But every once in a while, there are little things that we may be aware, or we may not be aware of what really happens. But there are little foxes that sometimes crop into, or creep into the vine, or creep into the causeway of our destiny and hinder our progress. And as I was thinking about those things, I thought about a few things that we would share. 4 things that we were going to share with us, so that we can be aware of, even as we trust God in 2014. Amen. I'm really looking forward to experience the goodness of God in 2014. I'm really so excited. I have seen the Spirit of God beginning to tell me some things. Now, I want to warn you that there are some things that the Lord God is going to speak to your spirit in 2014 that are not meant for public attention. Are you listening to what I'm saying? They are not meant for public consumption. They are things that the Spirit of God is going to whisper into your spirit that are not meant for public consumption. They are going to be nuggets that are going to be intended and targeted to your heart, so that you can combine a few things within your spirits. And when you are aware and you are alert of what is happening, then your causeway will be trouble-free. Praise be to God. And so last week we started talking about, do not worry about people, because when you worry about people, people are always going to be people. Amen. And we focused on the book of Proverbs, chapter number 29, verse number 25, which says that the fear of men will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Praise the Lord. That the fear of men will prove to be a snare. When you fear men in the things that God has kept in your heart, or has targeted or placed in your hearts to do and to accomplish in your hearts, when you fear men, or when you fear what other people will say concerning the things that the Lord has spoken into your hearts, it will be an entrapment. It will be an ensnarement. Praise the Lord. It will be a snare. But he who trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Praise be to God. And we talked about so many things. We talked about the different purposes and the different things that we do, and we go out of our way to do in order to please men. But how many of you know that men can only destroy this mortal body? But you know, when we trust in the God who can both destroy the heart and the body, that is the main thing. Rick Warren said this in his book, you know, Purpose Driven Life. I read this, and it was really mesmerizing what he said. That there are so many people in the United States and in the world today who buy so many things with money that they don't have, and go away into so much into debt in order to please other people, just because they want to please other people. You know, you're buying a beautiful jacket, you're buying a beautiful coat, you're buying a beautiful suit, or you want to buy the latest model of a car with money that you don't have, so that you can keep up with the Joneses. But when we focus unto the Lord, When our primary goal is to please God, when God has given you a purpose and a call in ministry, and you know that I am doing this thing that the Lord has placed in my heart for His own glory, let me tell you, God receives the glory. And the Bible says that His eyes range throughout the face of the earth looking for somebody who is committed to do His will. Are you listening to me? God has called us into various ministries in our church. There are people, as I told you before, people who have been called to come and minister to us in the kitchen. There are people who just stand up, and when they stand up here, we are ready to go and do whatever God has called us to do because God has endowed them with a message of encouragement. You know? So, whatever God has called you in 2014, I wish somebody can listen to me. Please, it might be little in your own eyes, but before the Lord, it is humongous. And God says, no one else can do it unless you step up to the plate. And when you do it with the whole of your heart. When God has given me a burden to do whatever I do, I'm telling God, I've not been there yet, but I'm telling God, God help me so that I can be a seeker of your presence. There's no way we can seek the presence of God and we remain the way we are. There's no way we can seek the presence of God and stagnate. There's no way we can seek the presence of God and fail to affect our comrades. There's no way we can be in the presence of God and we fail to affect our families. There's no way we seek the face of the Lord and fail to affect our generation. I feel in 2014, what has God called you to do? So the fear of man is a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord is protected. Amen? So whatever, if you're going to school, go to school. Trust God. God, give me the ability. Give me the amplitude. So that when the professor comes, he might actually be not liking you. But when God is on your side, how many of you know that no one can be against you? When God is on your side, when you're going to class and you're not understanding, tell Holy Spirit, help me to understand these things. And you do it for the glory of God. Whatever you do, whatever your hands find to do, do it with the whole of your heart. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now we want to shift gears and go to the next topic. And today, as I promised you, I want to speak about stop complaining. Not somebody seated next to you or high five somebody next to you and sit next to you, tell them, stop complaining. Stop complaining. Now, I really want to go very quick because of my time. I really want to really check out my time. Now, listen to this. I want you to listen very. I got this. This is some poverty facts statistics by Anup Shah. Anup is spelled A-N-U-P Shah. You can go Google it and you can read it. It's a very interesting study here that was done. Now, listen. Almost half the world, over 3 billion people, live on less than $2.50 a day. Okay? At least 80% of humanity lives on less than $10 a day. The next point. The poorest 40% of the world's population accounts for 5% of global income. Imagine, 40% of the world's population accounts for 5% of global income. The richest 20% accounts for 3/4 of the world income. Now, the next point. According to UNICEF, 22,000 children die each day due to poverty. Are you listening to me? And they die quietly in some of the poorest villages on earth, far removed from the scrutiny and the conscience of the world. Being meek and weak in life makes them dying multitudes even more invisible to in death. Next point. 1.6 billion people, a quarter of humanity, live without electricity. Can you imagine that? A quarter of all humanity, they have never seen the light bulb. They live without electricity. The number of children in the world. There are about 2.2 billion children in the world. The number in poverty, 1 billion of this, like every one in every child, they live, they don't have any shelter, they don't have any safe water, and they don't have any access to health. Now, for the 1.9 billion children from the developing world, there are 640 million without adequate shelter, 400 million with no access to safe water, 270 million with no access to health services. Okay, I'll jump up and go to the next one. Okay, listen to this. 10.6 million died in 2003 before they reached the age of five. Children population, which is actually equivalent to the children population in France, Germany, Greece, and Italy. About 10.6 million children died in 2003 because of this, the hunger and lack of shelter and lack of adequate health care. Now, this on and on and on and on. This is it's a really a long statistic that you can go and read for yourself. Now, when you read up, when we hear about all those things, I know you are going that you're going in your mind, oh, that doesn't apply to me. That does not apply to me. That does not apply to me. Praise the Lord. But yet, it is a reality in the world. Now, when we are talking about do not complain, these are things that when we read about them, there's a genuine cause for anybody to complain. You can even excuse them to complain if they would have an opportunity to express their complaint to what they're going through. How do we imagine a country losing that number of children, and yet there are other people within the world that are enjoying all these amenities? We have running water. We have like I was reading that, like, you know, on average in the developing world, one family spends about 20 gallons of water. Just one family, and that is not water that is in-house plumbing. Just they use 20 liters of water. In America alone, one family spends about 600 liters of water every day. Think about it. It gives you cause to celebrate and to thank God for the things that He has done for us. Praise the Lord. It gives us cause. We find ourselves, let me tell you, church, you might find yourself complaining without you being aware or whether you're aware. And I realized this in my life. Sometimes I complain within myself, and I'm not even aware that I'm complaining about the things, the bad things that happened to me. Now, in reality, as long as we are living on this earth, there are going to be days whereby you have good things happening to you and sometimes bad things happening to you. Amen? Do we agree on that? There's bound to be certain times, you know, some days when things that can go wrong really bad, and they go wrong at the same time. There are some times when we enjoy plenty and we enjoy good connections, good things coming to us. And more often than not, when we are having that time and we are enjoying the goodness, or we are enjoying the plentifulness and we are enjoying good things coming to us, there is very little chance of us complaining. But normally, when the bad things are happening to us, that's when we are really rife to complain, or we are bound to complain about things that are happening to us. Is that not true? Last week, for example, I'll give you an example. You know, you come into church, Brian, I told you this last week. Somebody crosses a red light, and you know, my lights were green, and I'm just driving straight, you know, coming to the church to do a good thing. And I'm involved in a head-on collision, and I was with my wife in the car. God's mercy protected us. My car actually was, the insurance came and found it, and they concluded that it is a total loss. Now, I cannot even drive, you know, and I can say, why, Lord, I was going to serve you. Just the same day, I dropped my truck somewhere, you know, where I normally park, and somebody just backed up and crashed the whole side of my mirror. And guess to find out, you cannot drive. You cannot, you know, you can, if you know how those big rigs, Gideon, you understand, and Masharia, you know. You cannot really operate that big equipment without those mirrors. You need those mirrors so that you can check what is on your rear view. Somebody came and crashed the whole thing on the side. I went to the store. I thought it was going to be about $200. Guess how much I paid? $800. The same day. I know Alex is saying, oh, because he understands. The same day. I'm just coming, just the same day prior to my, you know, when I had the, I think it was on Saturday, that Saturday when I had an accident. I go home, and my nice phone that I bought, you know, so I can communicate, my daughter Susie put it inside my couch, and it crashed my screen. A phone that Gideon bought me. I bought that phone, and I said, this is the best phone that I had ever. It was crashed in the couch, and I looked at the things that they were happening. This was happening like back to back, back to back, back to back. And let me tell you, You would excuse me if I would say, guy, what is happening? Okay, I knew what was happening, you know, because if you're engaged in a spiritual warfare, you understand when your antennas are sensitive, you know the devices. The Bible says this, let us not be ignorant of the devices of the enemy. So the enemy will come and discourage us, especially when you're on the right course. But there are sometimes, that's why I'm telling you, church, there are sometimes in this life, Jesus said that while you're on this life, you can have trouble. Trouble will come to you. Right? And so, you can excuse me if I would have sat down there. If I may have not verbalized a word, but I would have said, what is happening? Okay, I've been doing this. I've been going to church. I've been faithful in this. I've been doing this. What is happening? You know? But all these things happen back to back. Now, my life is not always like that. There are some times when I have good connections. I have good things going for me. Something happens to me and I say, wow, I can't believe even how this thing happened to me. So if I would conclude the whole situation that my life, everything is so broken down. I don't even know what I'm going to do now because things have they're hitting me back to back. I'm so discouraged. And I'll start complaining. I'll be doing myself an injustice because that is not the total, the entirety of my life. There are some times I enjoy good tidings. There are some times when people call me and they tell me good messages. There are some times when God just gives me a super favor that it's not even for public consumption. God comes and delivers me out of a situation. And when I look back, I'm able to say, God, you are the one who saved me in that situation. I would have been killed in that accident when the guy ran the lead right. Okay, Purity, help me. You're from Nyeri. When I ran the red light. There we go. Got it. Can you say red light twice so many times? Can you say red light? Okay. Sister Lorraine, we love you. Excuse us when we mix these things, you know. They say that the English came with a boat. So anyway, it came on a ship. So when this guy ran the red light, I would have been killed. My wife was with me. The children were home. And when I came out of that, there was a girl actually who was hit. Her car actually was thrown into the farm. Her car actually, the wheel disconnected from the whole hub. I think it was about 16-year-old girl. And she was shaking and she was worried. When her daddy came, the dad was also trembling. But God saved us. God saved us on that occasion. So that was the first accident, I think, forever. I've never been involved. So if I would just suddenly, guy who you have left me, why did you allow this devil to come in? That was not the entire life. Are you listening to me, church? It is good and it is profitable for us to look at the life with a longevity. How the Lord, with an experience, God, you have been faithful. I didn't have the thing. 10 years ago, I didn't have the things that I have right now. I can drive through I-75. You know, I even have a driver's license for heaven's sake. Did you know even when you came here, you were not able to drive even on the... Do you know there are people actually who have been in the United States today? They cannot even drive on a highway. Actually, they have a license, but even they cannot even drive on a highway. If you want to know, there are people even who cannot even drive on high fives. Sometimes they call the police. If you want to know, you can talk to somebody in this congregation. They drove on a high five and they call the police. God, I cannot. This is so, I'm so shaken. They had to call the police to come and help them navigate down the high five. Thank, you know, sometimes, let me tell you. Look at the life, the length of how God has been with you, Pastor Julius. He has been faithful to you. There are many people who are sick in the hospitals, but you're still kicking strong. You may have experienced some adversities, but you're still here. You may have even gone through mountains and valleys up to almost to a blink of death, but God did not allow you to die because he has a purpose for you. Oh, Jesus. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. God has been faithful to us. God has been good to us. There's going to be times when things that you have worked out the way you plant so meticulously, you're a good planner, and you plant everything the way you plant, and you know that you've connected the dots in your mind, but just one little thing just messes up the whole thing. You plan to go to school in August, and you plan, you applied for even for grants and everything. You went even to the counselors, you set up everything, and you're excited, and you're working, but suddenly something happens. I cannot even go to school this time. There are things, this is life. And some things will happen whether you like it or not. God orchestrates everything for a purpose. God sees in your future. God, I always tell you this, God has the blueprint print of your life. So he knows point A to point B to point C to point E. Oh, have you ever seen, let me tell you, sometimes I'm driving on a, and I really want to really redeem my time. I'm driving on a road. I'm doing 45 miles an hour because that's what the speed limit says. And there's a guy behind me, and we are on the streets, you know, it has so many lights. And I know you have experienced this. And this guy comes and he's so mad because I'm slowing down. He wants to do 60 miles an hour on a lane that is written 35, 45 miles an hour. He cuts me. Like, you know, he cuts me and he comes in front of me and he zooms past me. Do you know what I feel? I feel bad. Why, you know, why is he trying to show me that I don't know anything? It's okay. You know, when he's passing me, I feel so bad. I feel so bad. And, you know, it's like my car doesn't, I cannot really push on the accelerator and also do 60 miles an hour. And, you know, and he looks at me like I'm, you know the way somebody can give you a look? Like, what are you doing on this highway? Can't you walk? It's like you can even imagine him talking. Can't you walk? You were just going so slow. But you know the most wonderful thing? I really thank God because of stoplights. On the red light, he zooms forward, and I'm running. Actually, we are face to face, and now I'm looking to him. Yeah, you did it, yeah. Yeah, man. Do you know what? We have also been like those people. People have done that to us, but we have been like those people. And don't you appreciate the stoplights of life that God puts in our lives? Because sometimes we want to overrun on a speed that says, God says that you need to be going 45 miles an hour on this lane. Because if you go past that, you might find somebody who will run a speed light and might kill you. And then we are going, oh, God, you know, I'm just going. And you know what God says? Oh, watch out. We are not going anywhere. Stoplight. Yeah. So when whatever you thought that you are really wanting to show other people and you wanted to show him, me dust, we are on the same level. You know, we are on the same level. So when we listen to God, I'll be doing 45 miles an hour. Because, you know, that guy says, I hate this light. And I can imagine him saying, damn light, come on, light, what are you doing? Have you ever seen people really cussing at the lights? Light, come on, turn red, green, what are you doing? Huh? Light. There are also lights in life. God has put those lights in our lives. Praise be to God. Are you listening to me? Now, listen to me very, very carefully. Paul is a man that the whole of yesterday, I was really reading. It's like I was so absorbed in the book of Philippians, chapter number 4, verse number 10 to 12. And Sister Lorraine, please put it up there. Because when you read about Paul, he is a man who goes through so much in his ministry. Right from the day God calls him, Paul goes through hell and high water. And in Philippians, chapter number 4, this is what the Bible says. Paul says to the church in the Philippians, he tells them this, I rejoice in the Lord greatly now that at last, mark that word, at last you have renewed your care for me. You are in fact concerned about me, but lacked the opportunity to show it. I don't say this out of need, okay? I don't say this out of need, for I have, somebody say, learned, God. For I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know both how to have little and I know how to have a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. This is Paul writing to the church in Philippi. Paul says that I have learned. Do you learn? Learning is not an event. Do you know that? Learning is not an event. There has to be an expenditure of time. For you to learn something, for you to learn to have an experience, is the purity about something, you have to expend some time. You know, for you to have learned who Ben really is, you know, we know Ben as tall, handsome, black and handsome guy, you know, and nice, and talks nicely. But we may have not learned about who he is. But if you ask this lady, she will tell you, I have learned about who Ben is. My wife has learned who Pastor Tony is. Maybe you see this guy, fiery guy who preaches here, but have so many weaknesses. But that woman has spent life with me for 19 years. She has spent time with me and she has learned who I am. Are you listening to me? Paul says that I have learned. I have done what? Can everybody say? Why is that there? Where is that? I'm trying to look for the I've learned. For I've learned the secret of being there. So when you learn about being hungry, it is a secret that many people would not know. For when hard times come, that's why I told you there are some things that the Holy Spirit will tell you that are not meant for public consumption. There are some things that God will teach you that they will help you as you sojourn within the journey. My goodness. Okay. Just hold that thought, and I would like us to jump into the book of 2 Corinthians 11, 25, 23, 25. 2 Corinthians 11, verse number 23, 25. Sister Lorraine, please, if you can get there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. And you all can go there, read your Bible. I'd like us to read together. Are they the servants of Christ? I'm talking like a madman. This is Paul now writing to the church in Corinth, and he's telling them, Are they servants of Christ? I'm talking like a madman. I know you do not understand what I'm telling you. I'm a better one with far more labors, many more imprisonments. This is exactly how he learned how to be abased. He learned how to live without, how to live with plenty. This is what the Bible says. Many more imprisonments, far worse beatings, near death many times. Can you see? Many times. In fact, in other words, he had endured beatings from his captors many, many times. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 slashes minus one, like Jesus. How many times did he receive 39 slashes? 5 times. Now, you have to understand, the thrashes, the kind of stripes that they were beating on people, it was not a kind of kawaida where your dad, used to tell you, can you run to the backyard and bring a stick? That's not the kind of a slash we are talking about. These were bones and metals that were hooked up to the slasher. And it was an occasion, it was an event whereby he would come and be beaten. And he says 5 times. Now, I was thinking about this and I was seeing Paul just having a reminiscence of the experience that he had on the last one. And now they had told him that today, at 3 o'clock, you're going to have the beating like we did the last time. And this is exactly what he says. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 slashes minus one. 3 times, listen, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I have spent a night and a day in the depths of the sea. Can you read that scripture again, man? Can you see it? He says, in the depth of the sea. I don't know now. I was asking the Lord, can you help me understand this? Did he go under the sea? Or was he alone, floating on a rock somewhere, maybe in the middle of the Atlantic? And Paul learned that this was the service of the Most High God. When we got saved, there is this misconception that, when you get saved, everything will be, it will be bread and butter. But no, child of God, listen. There are some times when we have to endure hardship and give sacrifices to the cause of Christ. Are you listening to me, church? We have to endure hardship and offer sacrifice for the sake of Christ. Paul looks at this man and he says, you know what? He looks at the church in the Philippi. He was longing for help. He was really stranded. Many times he was not without food. And he looked forward. He did not even knock on their doors, tell them, hey, can't you see I'm a servant of God and I've come to minister to you? Can't you, don't you have even mercy to come and even please give me some food so that I've been sent here by the Lord to come and minister to you? Paul says no. But he says, finally, at last, you have found it worthy to give me help. In other words, he was looking forward for that help, but he did not complain. Are you listening to me? And finally, you have come and found, and you've given me, and you've come and you've recognized the authority that has sent me to come and be a blessing to you. Finally, you have come, you have seen the need. I was looking forward for it, but I did not complain about it. But finally, you found the need to come and help me. But he told them, I am not saying this because I am in need, because I have learned. God, have mercy on us. May the Lord help us to learn. May the Lord help us to learn that, you know, sister purity, that when we serve God, that there are times when things are going to be so intense in our lives. I was speaking to a man last night in my home, a man of God, a man of prayer. And, you know, he gave me his testimony. He's going to come and minister to us on the 26th. So you had better prepare yourself. And in the things that he went for 9 months, for nine solid months, he trusted God to open up a church. Anyway, I don't want to preempt his testimony. But when the story that he gave me correlated with what Paul underwent. Now, seriously, with the way we know how things were, would Paul be okay for him? I mean, we can excuse him if you do complain. But he didn't open up a word to complain. So I'm here to tell you, stop complaining. God has blessed you with abundance. God, if the world, if the 80% of the other part, people know what you have in your fridge, what you have in your house, what you enjoy, yet you complain, they would really put you down and start whipping you. Because they would ask, what are you complaining about? What are you complaining about? You're complaining about it is too cold outside, I cannot go outside because of winter. There are people who are complaining, they have not eaten for 5-6 days. Now, if you have never eaten for 6 days, you know, weather is not a concept, actually. This stomach here, if you don't have food for even 4 days. Did you read, was it in South Sudan when they started killing cats and dogs because of hunger? And that makes you like going, oh, dogs? Hunger can drive you crazy. I am telling you the truth. And Paul experienced all these things, yet he never complained. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. He sets an example to us. He doesn't complain. And he says, I'm not telling you this because I'm in need. Because I have learned. Church, this is my message to you this morning. May we dare to learn how to serve God, not always to expect good things coming our way. If good things come, yes, okay, thank you, Jesus. But if bad things come, I will still serve the Lord. Whether with money, whether with a car, I will still serve the Lord. How many millions do you know in Africa that don't have a car, yet they walk miles and miles to go to a house that is called by the name of the Lord to worship Him? How many people do you know that in Africa that don't have even a quarter of the amenities we have, and then they sacrifice and they go and pray and seek the face of the Lord? Serving God is not bread and butter. There are times when things are going to be tight, but even in those times, God expects us to serve Him. Putting God, giving God. Where have you placed God on your list this year? I know you have so many schedules. Like somebody was telling me, I have goals. I've set goals, you know. I've written goals on my... Where is God in your goals? I dare you to serve Him. I dare Him to just commit yourself completely and yield yourself unrelentlessly to the service of the Most High God. And He will never let you down. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Learn. I have learned to be abased. I've learned to stay without food. I've learned. I'm not saying this because of my needs, because I've learned. If you come and give me, it is still okay. If you gave me, it will still be well with me. And I will not really regard you less. You will still be my brothers and my sisters because I have learned. God, the Spirit of the living God, has taught me to live without and to live with. It is all the same to me. Let me tell you, that is a liberation. If you get to that point, my brothers and my sisters, that if you can get to that point whereby nothing else matters, it is not, you know, you can have no food, you can even have little. When you get to that position, my brother, that is a secret. It is freedom. You can serve God with or without. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Somebody give God an amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In the book of Philippians 2:14, this is what the Bible says. Sam, where is Sam? Is he? He's in Sunday school. Okay. Now, listen. Philippians chapter number 2, 14 to 16. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Amen. Do all things. Somebody say, do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent. Come on, say it. That you may be blameless and innocent. Children of God, without a blemish in the midst of a wicked and twisted generation. God is calling us to do everything. When God has called you, you know, it's better to do than complain later. Oh, not really complain. Ask questions later. You know? Do all things. That's what Paul says. Do all things. There's a blessedness when you do all things. Then, because you're a light. Praise the Lord. Okay, very quick. This is going to be my last scripture. Numbers, verses 11. Go there, please, very quickly. Numbers 11. I may not really finish this, but Numbers 11. This is a purity. If you found it, can you read it for me, please? Read from 11 to verse number 1 to. Yeah, just start reading. I'll tell you where to stop. Yeah. Please be attentive. I'm just about to conclude now. Okay, you can get up to there. Now, this is, as we read in the scriptures, the children of Israel go to a point, God comes and delivers them out of the land of captivity, right? And they get to a point whereby God begins, you know, they start craving the things that were in Egypt now. They started murmuring and complaining to the Lord. I want you to know that God is displeased with our complaints. He dislikes it ultimately. He doesn't like our complaint, or it displeases him. No, they started complaining about when God, now, look at this picture. They get into the wilderness, and the Lord provides free bread for them. Think about this. Provides free bread for them. And I believe that bread was well balanced. Maybe it has protein, carbohydrates, and vitamins and everything. They did not even buy it. They did not buy the bread. It just fell from heaven. Okay? Now they say, when we remember the fish, when we remember the cucumbers, when we remember the garlics, when we remember the things in Egypt that we ate, what is this that we have come to? Now remember how the devil can really antagonize information and messages. In order for them to get fish pasachi in Egypt, they had to exchange it with their hard labor. Think about it. They were exchanging it. They were saying, oh, we remember the fish that we ate for free. Free? They never got it for free. It was in exchange with the hard labor that they received in Egypt. They were beaten, they were crushed, and they were tormented in Egypt. All these things we remember, all these things. Now, God has sent us here to die, and all we see is this bread. All they had to do, they did not even have to pay money to buy for this bread. All they needed to do is wake up, go pick it up, and come into their house. That was all. That was the labor that he was supposed to do now to pick up the manna. And here the children of Israel were. And God looked at these people and he was wrathful with them. In fact, the Bible says that God's anger was rekindled in his heart, and he sent a fire. And he burned everybody within the outskirts of the whole village. And that place, they called that place Tiberia, because there was a burning because of complaining. Now, we may not really experience a burning in our lives, but how many times do you think that we've been shortchanged to reach our destiny because of the words of our complaints? There could be a virtue, you know, like a virtue fire burning on the periphery of our lives. We are trying to move on, but because of the words that we have been complaining about, oh God, you brought me into this nation. Oh, I have not even been able to do this. Look at this. And, you know, there's always complaint. Every time you can come, you're complaining. Complaining, complaining, complaining. It has shortchanged, short-circuited where God would have intended for you to be. Are you listening to me? God hates complaint. And I'm not going to proceed because I don't have much time. I said we're going to finish the service at 11. But finally, what I'm saying is this. That God was so much displeased with these people. In other instances, in Exodus 16, if you read Exodus 16, 1 to 9, I can tell you to go and read that at home. The Israelites were still doing the same. They started even crying the more. We don't even have this. We don't even have the other. And they remembered their lives in Egypt. Do you know, can I just be real just for a minute and then we conclude? How many times have we even talked about, nagawe Kenya ni kwega? We talk like that. You know, we talk carelessly without even knowing. I think Kenya is better way. Eh? Here we just walk. And when we were in Kenya, we were saying, oh God, I wish I can go to this embassy and I get the visa. There are some of us even did things, but God has forgiven us. We did things that if you are told how we came up here. In fact, let me tell you, in this place, you don't want even to hear somebody's story. That is not for public consumption. Keep quiet with it. God forgive you. But the things that we did in order to come from Africa to come here, so that the land of plenty. Yet when we come here, oh man, they have called me for another job. They have called, look at this one. They want me just to do this kind of work. We complain. Let me tell you, can God help us? You know, I said this year, sometimes we call, like maybe somebody will call me, like Judith will call me, or maybe Willie will call me. And say, hey, Pastor, how are you doing? Oh, same more. I'm not going to say same more. What is same more? Same more. You know, they say same more. In other words, where you left me is where I am. Same more. In 2014, I dare you not to say same more. When somebody calls you, whether things are not working out, how are you doing, just Brother Tony? Oh, man, I'm blessed, man. I'm doing well. The Lord is blessing me. I am moving forward. Things are working out for me. Because how? See, the Bible says, and the righteous shall walk not by sight, but by. Even when things are not working for you, I'm not going to say same more. You know, I started saying, why do I say, oh, same more, Pastor? You know, same more, man. I'm hanging in there. Those are, you know what, can we remove that word. Hannah, how is your studies coming? Oh, you know, Pastor, I'm hanging in there. No, I am doing great. The Lord is giving me revelation. I am understanding these things. I am grasping. When was the last time you heard somebody speaking like that? You are like, wow. But how about if we can be talking like that to everybody? When Pastor Francis, how are you doing? Oh, you know, brother, you want to know what God is doing for me? Do you have time? Are you standing? Sit down. Because you might faint. God is blessing me. God is opening up doors for me. Oh my God, my children are doing well. I am in health. I am enjoying super health 100%. The devil is under my foot. I am not hanging in there. I am not same more. I am doing well in Jesus' name. Oh, you don't want to know something else? Are you standing? Are you still? Do you have enough seats? There's money in my bank. And you may have zero. But you know what? You are looking at the money by faith. Because God is sending money to your account. God is connecting and giving you divine connection. In 2014, I refuse for us to be same more. I refuse for us to be hanging. You know somebody who is hanging in there? That if somebody comes and cuts that string, you are done. So you are not hanging in there. I'm not hanging in there. I'm solidly in Christ. And I am not hanging. I am inside. I mean, planted, yes. I am planted and my roots are well grounded. I am not swayed. I am really comfortable. I am enjoying my life. That is the message, 2014. If you didn't hear anything, when somebody calls you in 2014, don't tell them, I'm same more. I'm hanging in there. No, that is the language of 2014. 2013, that's what we used to say. 2014, we are saying, I am solid in Christ. I am doing well. My family is doing well. You want to know about my children? They are getting A's. Yes. And I am passing this exam that I'm doing it. Pray for me. You'll hear me. You'll read me on Dallas Morning News. You'll hear me on News 8. Watch me. Because God is doing something in my life. Are you listening to me? Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. I'm concluded. Hallelujah. Lift up your right hand. I'd like you to confess this. Father, in the name of Jesus, in 2014, I will not complain. Rather, I will see the goodness of God. I will see the splendor of His glory. I choose to get grounded, to be planted in Him. My message will empower others in the name of Jesus, because I'm the Son of the Most High God. In the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for these, your children. I pray, Lord, even as they go to the marketplaces, for the Father, that they will carry you, Lord. Because when we carry you in our lives, we are destined to win in the name of Jesus. None of them will be failures. None of them will fail to achieve their purposes in the name of Jesus. Devil, whether you bring accidents, whether you bring sickness, it doesn't matter. Because we are grounded in the Lord. Glory be to Jesus. Father, you shall give them victories. Even those that have not been able to come to church on Sunday, we release them, oh Father, because they will come and hear the word of the Lord. Because when they hear the word of the Lord, light will come into their lives to the glory and honor of your name. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We bless you. We give you praise. There might be somebody who has never given his life to Jesus in this auditorium. The Bible says that he knocks, he's knocking right now at the door of your heart. If you would only open it up, he would come in and dwell inside of you. And he will start a relationship with you. Is there anyone who has never given their lives to Jesus and you want to say, here, preacher man, I'm here, I'm willing and I'm ready to accept the Lord as Savior and Lord of my life. Is there anybody? Before we conclude this service, Father God, I speak your blessing over your people this week. Father, victory is part of our lives. Victory and success is our portion in the name of Jesus. We shall not be defeated to the glory and honor of your name. In Jesus' precious name, somebody who loves him, shout a big amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Pastor Julius.